We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
But in this time slot every Friday when we visit with our good friend Jason Roop, who is the former editor of Style Weekly and the founder of the media and PR firm Spring Story. My man, Jason Roop, how you doing?
Hey, Gary, how's your week been?
It's been good. It's been good. You know, I enjoy sitting in John's chair for a few days and then having him take it back when he gets back.
Yeah, and so, then you go back to a little normal again.
I go back to my normal chair. That's right. My normal chair is comfortable. So there's that. Anyway, this is where we always talk about goings-on in the city of Richmond and all the things to do this weekend, which, of course, there's not much there. But it is very interesting up top, this like five-hour meeting last night with the school board and Jason Kamras and some experts. What's your takeaway from that?
Yeah, I've been talking to a lot of people about schools this week. It's on a lot of people's mind, I think, because, not too long ago, it seemed like, everything's going to get back in the fall. I don't know that people really took it seriously, the possibility that when we heard that school was going to be closing, that this would actually be extending into the new school year. And so there's a little bit of a wake up going on right now that we're about to hit August, and not only that, we're about to hit August when probably at this point normally we would be getting lists of what classes your kids would be in. You'd start doing those back to school orientations for the smaller ones, and of course none of that's happening because there really isn't any clear direction on where we're going to go with schools. So, I know one of the Richmond School Board meeting is a great example of that last night, which you mentioned. These meetings, as people probably know, are going on over Zoom, and the Richmond School Board has been meeting and talking, and it's been a lot of talking and not a lot they can do right now, or not a lot that they are doing, because they feel like they don't have the information and they have lots of different, there are lots of different forces at play. You have the teachers and the teachers' associations, and you have staff members who have the kinds of worries that other people do about going back to work. You have the children and the parents at home who are, trying to weigh, is it going to be good for my child to be at home, away from everybody again? Is it better to get them into that routine? And so they asked a lot of they had a few doctors in the meeting yesterday. It was kind of a guest panel of physicians on the Zoom call, and they were, sharing what they knew about the about COVID-19 and how it affects kids.
And the interesting thing is one of the doctors said, I think it was one of the doctors from Children's Hospital, basically said while kids do contract the coronavirus, they are much less likely to get it compared to adults. And as a result, the concern for schools needs to be adult to adult transmission. That's an interesting. And so if that is the case, and I'm not saying it is or it isn't, if that is the case, then why can't all the kids be in school is the rhetorical question, right?
Yeah, I think, you're talking about, and I don't know if I'll pronounce his name right, I'm familiar with him, but Dr. Ramesh Widyasuriya. He is over at Children's Hospital, a very well-known guy, and he said that kids under 12 just do not transmit the disease much to each other or to adults. And he said there is no option that has no cost to going back to school. So, it was really up to the school board to balance the risk versus the benefits. And we know that the American Physicians Group has said they believe it's better for students to be back in school. A lot of the doctors seem to be playing things down. They said even they got into detail as far as even women who might be pregnant teachers who might be pregnant. What is the risk to unborn children if the mom catches coronavirus? Which could happen anywhere, of course, but they're getting at what do adults who have compromised systems or different systems, what do they face? And then another doctor pointed out, women who are pregnant also have different immune systems than other people, in some ways stronger. So they played that down. They played down the 0 to 12 age group and said, they're just not seeing it happen. And you look at, like, kindergartners, for example. One of the school board members said, you're not going to get kindergartners to wear a mask for all day long at school. It's just not good for them to have it on, first of all, and they're not going to do it. And are you really going to get kids to stay 3 feet away from each other at all times at that age? So, those were some of the things they talked about. There's also, Gary, the financial side of things. And this seems overwhelming as well for a lot of people because, we're talking about, in Henrico, for example, they've been talking about staggered classes and what that costs. And in Richmond, one of these figures came out today in the Times-Dispatch. They said that Richmond estimated that it would be $1.15 million just to make sure towels and soap are restocked in the bathrooms. And they were going to have to pay custodians for additional time that was going to be used for that kind of sanitizing. They were planning deep cleaning days. And so, it's still unknown exactly, how well you need to clean to lower the risk. And if you what you can do there, and schools aren't necessarily the most modern and up-to-date buildings as it is, as far as, HVAC and all that kind of thing. So, it just goes on and on. Virginia Department of Education says that there is money available, and that Richmond got $12 million in federal CARES Act funds. So, they have been using that money. They've been, you might remember a lot of schools have been giving out laptops. So as you listen to different bodies discuss this and you start to see the political aspect coming in, we saw the GOP and Virginia stepping in. We saw the governor this week changing his guidelines a little bit. Some people offering legislation that might help the situation, but the General Assembly not going back till August. You start to wonder how any of this could possibly be done in time for anybody to plan for the first day of school, right after Labor Day, for example.
It's interesting, and Labor Day's late, not that those couple days make a difference. It's as late as it can possibly be. So the 8th is the expected first day of school. And that is, as of Wednesday, that's now less than 2 months away. So that's interesting. Did you see
it's coming?
Did you see where Richmond Public Schools said if schools reopen, that they would purchase the walkthrough temperature scanners, one for each school, two for large schools, at a cost of just under $200,000.
Wow. I didn't see that.
So, yeah, the school, they're going to, each student would have to walk through the walkthrough temperature scanner. So then you got to have people monitor that. Yeah. I mean, all the, and money was an issue for Richmond schools to begin with.
That's right. And if you look at, if you compare this, pretend we're talking about a business, which it's a little different because you're talking about children being at home all this time versus in school. I know one large business in Richmond that just, bought thousands of temperature scanners. You mentioned temperature scanners. They're sending home with employees so that they don't even want to do it themselves. They want employees to take their own temperature before they even get into work. Stay away from here until you feel you're ready. so, you know, you can see that's a huge shift in on the private industry, much less public education. And we're, you know, there's also, I'll mention this, there's a group of parents, and there's a kind of a statewide coalition starting to form. There's a Facebook page for people who are interested called VA Back to School, and two is the number, VA Back to School. And then choicesforvirginiaschools.org. These are volunteers, these are parents putting some money together to try to convince the governor to really lead the way here and at least offer the choice of parents who feel like it's okay for their child to be back in school 5 to 8 days a week to offer that possibility. So, you know, is that going to achieve its message in the next month? I'm not sure. But, you know, we know how slowly the wheels move at the government level. And, you know, even the school board, for example, made no decisions. They just heard information. They're not even ready to vote on anything yet.
Well, it's going to be interesting. This is far from over, and it's going to be fascinating to see how it all unfolds. And Jason, we're out of time. We appreciate the chat as always. And speaking for John, we'll talk to you next Friday.
See you later. Thanks.